In any case, the Gita itself is regarded as the quintessence of the Upanishads. So the study of the Gita actually is a kind of a study of the Upanishads. And Upanishads themselves are the quintessence of the Vedas. So you might say it is even a study of the Veda. But you know, the reason why I was truly inclined to deal with the Bhagavad Gita now was that Sri Krishna is rather too pressing. That is to say, he is around us as it were. And we need to deal with him. So that is why I thought at present, in the present state of consciousness, it is better to invite Sri Krishna and to be with him.
Therefore, there is some historical evidence of Sam Krishna who lives at one time and was known, so well known that many referring to him as son of the original immortality by the man. The most important gift, the reality of Sri Krishna, is even the continuous experience of Sri Krishna through the ages. We can have a galaxy of saints who can testify that they have direct experience of Sri Krishna. Even the mother who came from France, and who had up to an advanced up to 1904 and hardly any idea about India. Now when she entered into the Indian experience, she began to have the experiences there is a very interesting conversation of the mother in the agenda of 1964. The English translation says this. It is one paragraph which is very, very interesting. This is in French, so I can only bow to you, but I'm doing this part in English translation, so I should read off you that paragraph, which is very interesting, the worship of Krishna. You understand, when I was giving meditations in the hall downstairs, nobody should do meditations in Pondicherry and Ashram for many years. In our home, we have a room, so she's referring to that. You understand, when I was giving meditations in the hall downstairs, they were all there. Shiva, Krishna, all the gods of Indian pantheon were there. in that cycle. To follow the meditation. Now what Krishna Baba says, Krishna, sometimes I walk with him for hours in conversation. At night, when I was really tired from my work, he would come and sit on the edge of my bed. I would put my head on his shoulder and fall asleep. And it lasted for years and years and years. You know, not just once by chance. Now, this is the experience of the mother for years. Between the experiences of this kind, the Jnana, for example, is to talk to Sri Krishna. He does not have an imaginary meaning, or they were not some kind of hallucination. She was experiencing drought today. Although it was a concrete experience of Sri Krishna, it is the concrete experience of Sri Krishna throughout the ages. We people have experienced the muses, the muses of the reality of Krishna. We have, for example, the experience recorded by Shivan himself. The sacred experience of the mother of Sri Krishna. But there is a very famous speech given by Shivan called the Tattara speech. Shivananda was arrested in 1998 on trial of sedition of conspiring to break out the British government that was in charge. On their charge he was put into the prison. Now, this was the period when Shivananda had already attained to Brahmi consciousness, a complete state of silence, such an extent that he could harm us. Hence he guarded us from the divine directly. Ami describes his experience in the speech that he gave. In Nightmare 9, after Lakuta, when he was acquitted from the jail, from the old charge of sedition, he was taken to Georgia. Solitary cell.
Mm-hmm.
success and failure. Yet, not to know his will negligently. And that servant of his is under God, which I am going to just now. But then he continues, and he says, return the hearts that he should not turn the hearts of my jailers to me, and was spoken to the Englishman in charge of the jail. He was suffering in his confinement, looking at his walk outside his cell for half an hour in the morning and in the evening. So it was arranged. And it was while I was walking that his strength again entered into me. I looked at the jail, the second of me from them, and it was no longer by its high walls that I was imprisoned. I walked under the branches of the tree in front of myself, but it was not a tree. I knew it was Vasudeva. It was Sri Krishna whom I saw standing there and burning over me his sins. I looked at the bars of my cell, the very grating that did duty for a bell, and again I saw Vasudeva. It was Narayana who was bowing and standing sentry over me. I lay on the coarse blankets that were given me for a couch, and I felt the arms of Sri Krishna around me, the arms of my friend and brother. This was the first use of the deeper vision he gave me. I looked at the prisoners in the jail, the thieves, the murderers, the swindlers. And as I looked at them, I saw Vasudeva. It was Narayana whom I found in these darkened souls and disused bodies. Amongst these tools and decoys, there were many who put me to shame
Do
foolish in your scheme. The first message says, I have given you your love. And it is to help you uplift this nation. Before long, the time will come. Then you will have to go out of the jail. For it is not my will that this time either you should be convicted or that you should pass a time as a person to do in suffering for the country.
Thank you.
has a very special significance. It is not an intellectual discussion. It is as if you are Shikrish by himself speaking. What he has intended to speak through the Gita. Which one if you read the Gita, the sense of the Gita is great book. If you really read it with a tremendous gratitude, you will yourself feel that it is Shri Krishna who is whispering into your ears the real message. There have been so many interpretations of the Gita, but if you read them, you feel as it were in a field of pedantry. And you do not know whether this is right or that is right or that is right. Since a loving and enlightening star, you become confused. I myself, before I came to be a shadow, I have read several commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. And I was so much confused that I really felt that our children should not be taught the Gita because it is so much of confusion in the minds of the children. And there are so many opinions of Gnostic interpretation and Aristotelic interpretation and Gnostic interpretation. And so many others.
Except one of the five of these others, Thank you. Thank you.
but as something which is highly true, for all banter to be true. But to see what passion it contains, and where the whole of the Gita is a thing but the truth, to keep in consciousness that there are many things which are not in the Gita, many other truths which are not in the Gita. There are even, for example, there are deep truths of the Veda which are not in the Gita. The Gita may be regarded as a quintessence of the Veda. But the richness of the Veda is not in the Gita. The Gita is an episode, and a location, and whatever was relevant to the location has been answered. But although it is called the quintessence of the Upanishads, the richness of the Upanishads is not in the Gita. Therefore, we cannot make a claim that all that is true is in the Gita. That the Gita gives you the final word of the truth, and that there is nowhere any truth anywhere else, or that nothing of truth anywhere else exists is subordinate to this truth. This is not the attitude with which we are going to study the Gita. And this is to be very clear in the minds of everyone. The interesting Mm-hmm.
Я не знаю, что это за This is a distinguished contractor. Everything that can fit is subject to error. Number two, what is a supposed benefit in the obvious? But what is real is supposed to be true. This is the psychology. This is okay. Now the problem is, for us who are all seekers, we have to learn what is deemed by the consideration. What is deemed by Moses in the revelation? What is given in Quran is a revelation. What is given to Hindu is a revelation. And yet it works at the same thing. This is a fact. So sometimes we are told that this truth is not in the same words. But basically what they all say is the same thing. But factually, we don't find it to be so. It is true that there are certain things which are actually so. But we can't say that everything that is said is said in every other scripture. The same revelation of the different words. It is not the case. Therefore, we must have a correct knowledge of the psychology of revelation. The very first second line of this book shows us speaks of revelations and how revelations. The very second line shows us speaks of revelations and how revelations. So that means that there can be revelation, there can be half revelation, there can be greater revelation. And that is the real truth of the psychology of revelation. Instead of arguing that my revelation is true, and then claiming that another revelation is false. The best thing is to say that all revelations are true. Even if they differ, the truth expresses itself in many ways. We can set the problems out of them. The same reality which is expressed by
Thank you. Now, on the first time Mm-hmm. Yet, the ordinance was and I'm giving mention to my man, and he mentioned his words to the judge on the phone, and this was the reply. So I personally believe that there can be shooting. The munitions can come in green zones. Yes, it can come in many ways, many different ways. This came to me in my away waiting life actually, I heard. It can come in many forms. There is another way by which also revelation can be used. You may be in a position, in a state, where you believe that the truth that you hold in your hand is so important for the other one. That if it does not believe in it, it will be harmful. You are convinced that there is not much time available for him to consider this rationally or otherwise, or arrive at his own personal experience, where he can be sure of this truth. The situation is such that you don't have so much time. The person has to do something. And he has to do it now. Within a short time. And if he doesn't have time to verify whether it is true or not, then you are justified in that condition to tell him that look, this is the revelation, this is truth, as I understand it, as I believe it, as I experience. For you, it is very useful. much. Now what should be their teachers? Of the fact that our friends, in regard to their treatment, in regard to which the patient has skepticism, and is considered necessary before you can undertake this treatment. What should be the attitude? How will you prescribe it? In this circumstance, what you can do is the following. You can say, look, you are free to decide for yourself whether you should take this treatment or not. I do not want that you should be led by dogma. You don't have the time now to examine whether this treatment is really good or not. But there is an experience of many doctors who find this is quite useful. There is no other alternative just now. Have that for the faith. And undertake the treatment. We believe that we are doing our best by presenting this treatment to you. But even then, I recommend that you should have trust in it, faith in it. I leave it to you now. I recommend very strongly that you should have faith in it. Don't try now to find out whether it is really true or not. You don't have the time for it. Yet you have got to do it right now, so what should you do? In this circumstance, you want to tell others that you have faith in it. Therefore, the claim of those who believe in faith is not entirely wrong. There are circumstances in which you can give to the people and say, on faith, you take it now, and even while you do your experiments, sometimes you may have time. And for experimentation, but even there you have to tell some people that look, if you don't do experimentation at all, it will be harmful to you. Experiment should take time. If you don't do experimentation at all, then afterwards you'll be too late when you can make an experimentation. Therefore, just now, have faith in this. And make an experimentation and find out for yourself whether it is right or not. Now, as far as we all are concerned, our institution of this kind, be must accept Artis's faith, experimented on that basis so that we may be quickly relieved. All in the human state of the people concerned. And look, this is a revelation. This is true. It is worthy of faith. Whether you should give faith in it or not, I do not know. It is up to you. In any case, my argument to you is that do not accept it until by experiment you are convinced that it is true. Because that is the highest way of verifying and following any truth. But there are circumstances in which you can present the highest truth, either as a proposal to be followed or not to be followed, or even sometimes advising strongly to have faith in it. So there are three attitudes. One is to present a real truth and to say you listen to it. And right now, whereas by listening, it might affect you. It's quite possible that your mind is so right that the revelation just comes in and the right word is spoken at that time and you get enlightened. It's quite possible. It is said of Kabir that as a boy he was sleeping on the cart of Banaras. And one great saint at night, every morning it was still dark, and he came to take bath on the cart of Ganges. And by mistake, his foot fell upon the boy who was sleeping. And he simply said, "Ram, Ram." And this boy heard his voice and he felt as if a great light broke in him. And from that day his whole life changed. So it is quite possible a revelation of this kind, maybe by hearing the seed of ignorance is broken, and the whole life gets completely changed. It is possible. So that is first is that you simply say, "Look, listen to it," and listen to it when it works. Secondly, I don't say you should believe in it. Make an experiment. And only then you are completely in the state of experience of it, then you accept it. This is the highest ideal of presentation of any truth. Yes, it's just in the title. Yes. Now you decide what you want to do. Very absolutely, very true. That is the spirit. In fact, that's what I said that the fortunate in India we are producing. That revelations are many. Infinite, in fact. Therefore, you can never claim that this is the last word. In fact, Rigveda itself says that as you begin to rise higher and higher, newer and newer truths reveal themselves. Rigveda itself says so. So even if you said that Rigveda is a revelation, then that revelation itself says that look, my revelation is not the final one. As you will climb onwards, newer and newer truths will appear before you, revealing themselves to you. It's a fortunate thing in India. That is why in Indian tradition, this kind of freedom is so great. And dogmatism has not preached a great rule as elsewhere. So, we have now two propositions before us. One is the psychology of revelation. And when we said that revelation certainly gives you the truth. But secondly, that one revelation may be valid only for that time. May not be valid for another time. There are revelations which contain a lot of truths. There are other revelations which are half revelations. In fact, there can be a good science of revelations. People normally think that revelation is simply a matter of illumination, suddenly, and the end of the matter. But there is a body of revelations in there. It's a growing body of revelations. All of them are true, or some of them are true, some of them have lost their individualness at present. There are certain which are something on a particular wound. She said, do not make me mad at what I have said. All my words are words of force of action. My words have come out in the emblem of action, and therefore they are true only on the process of action. So there can be revelations which are only valid today. They may be surpassed tomorrow, and there can be other kinds of truths. This is the first point. Second point is the language in which the revelation comes. It is quite different in different languages. There was a belief in India that revelation must come on in Sanskrit. But that is not true. The language is simply a vehicle which a revelation proves itself. In one of the verses of the Rig Veda, there is a description as to how the Vedic hymns were composed, in which it is said that the truth comes traveling from above. It comes traveling from above. Cynics is proving the words. And then finds the utterance. So words are, as it were, the intermediate field. The truth comes from above, not in words. Words are secondary. Thoughts are forces that push revelation. There's a light. What we call the real knowledge. Not verbal logic, but verbal knowledge, not something in words, but knowledge. Knowledge which can be known independent of words. That knowledge is revealed. It travels down to the field of words. And then appropriately the knowledge itself selects the right word.
Revelations can come in great forms.
Yes, it can come in many ways, many different ways. This came to me in my awakening life, actually. I
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And right now, whereas by listening, it might affect you. It's quite possible that your mind is so right that the liberation just comes in. And the right word is spoken at that time, and you get enlightened. It's quite possible. It is said of Kabir that as a boy he was sleeping on the cart of Banaras. And one great saint at night, every morning it was still dark, and he came to take bath on the cart of the angels. And by mistake, his foot fell upon this boy who was sleeping. And he simply said, "Ram, Ram." And this boy heard his words and he felt as if a great light broke in him. And from that day his whole life changed. So it is quite possible that a revelation of this kind, merely by hearing the seed of ignorance, is broken. And the whole life gets completely changed. It is possible. So that his first is that you simply say, "Look, listen to it." And listen to it very quietly. Secondly, I don't say you should believe in it. Make an experiment. And only then you are completely in the state of experience of it, then you accept it. This is the highest ideal of presentation of any truth. Yes, it's just in the dark room. Yes. Now you decide what you want to do. That is absolutely very true. That is the spirit. In fact, that's what I said to them. Fortunate in India, we are traditional. That revelations are many, infinite in fact. Therefore you can never claim that this is the last word. In fact, Rigveda itself says that as you begin to rise higher and higher, newer
Mm-hmm.
Selects the right